want to welcome our next speakers, who I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. They're doing some really important work in the areas of health, specifically mental health. I'd say, well, physical, spiritual, all of it. So please give a big round of applause to Danny and Vanessa Penzela-Velez. Come on, make some noise for them. Greater Reset for co-creation.
Hello, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. What a beautiful crowd. I'm Danny Penzela-Velez, and this is my wife.
Vanessa Velez Penzela.
I just want to take a moment and just sink into the gratitude that I have for this community. I've been friends with Derek and John for many years, and we've been friends and kind of developing a lot of these ideas and learning and growing as people. And it is a beautiful thing after all these years to see what we've been dreaming of and what we've been working towards, manifesting in reality. The reality of you, this whole community. So I am in so much gratitude. I am so proud of John and Derek and Ramiro for all of their hard work, all of the volunteers. I'm grateful for all of you. And I'm grateful for this community for showing up to do this hard work. So thank you, all of you, for being here. Really, from the bottom of our hearts, we are just, I've already cried 3 times this morning. And I know John's like, he's running a pool because he likes to make fun of how much I cry. And today the title of our talk is Embodying Sovereignty Through Psychedelic Healing. And I think that's one of the side effects of psychedelic healing is that you come into this place of being in such deep gratitude for everything. I'm so grateful for my whole life. And when I started this journey, becoming an activist, when I woke up from the matrix, I was angry that I had lived a lie for my whole life, right? That I had believed these lies, that the New World Order or the Great Reset, was telling us, the programming, the matrix, whatever you want to refer to it as. So when I woke up and realized 9/11 was an inside job, that was the thing that woke me up. I was angry. And immediately, because of my personality, I had to take action. So I became an activist, right? I was a member of We Are Change New York City. I was handing out DVDs of Loose Change and other documentaries to people that were coming, to tourists and whatever. But I was in this vibration of anger because I was so upset about the state of the world. And for many years, that anger really consumed me. And so, we would be doing the activism and trying to wake people up. And then after we'd do an event, I'd go and I'd drink myself into a stupor to medicate the pain that I was feeling. And, I think a lot of the anger, the source of anger is really fear. Fear of what they're going to do to me. Fear of the freedoms they're going to steal from me. Fear of how my life is going to be affected by the Great Reset and tyranny in general, right? And so I would come home and I would take out that anger on my wife. And not necessarily in an abusive way, but just in a way that, although there certainly was. I mean, we're very open about our toxic past on our podcast. But it doesn't always have to come out as abuse. Sometimes it just comes out as being angry and miserable all the time. And we got to a place in our relationship where the toxicity got so bad, we were going to have to separate and go our separate ways or do something to heal. And at that time, somebody, a very good friend of ours who's also in the Liberty community, she recommended we try mushrooms. And Vanessa and I sat in our bedroom for the first time and took a hero's dose of mushrooms. And I had the most transformative experience of my life. And I've done a lot of psychedelics since then. And that first ceremony, and for us it was a ceremony. In that first ceremony, it changed everything for me. I thought I was awake. I wasn't awake. I was aware. I was aware of some tyranny, but I wasn't really fully awake yet. And that ceremony just changed the course of our lives. It changed everything. Thank you. So I'm going to let my wife speak now.
That was a huge turning point in our relationship. Like Danny said, we were kind of going through life in this place of being aware of what was happening in the world and allowing all of that anger to consume us. Like Danny said, he had kind of had this addiction to suffering. I used to make a joke that he had a limited amount of time of joy that he was allowing himself in the day. And sometimes when he would laugh a lot, I would say, stop, you're going to run into your laughing time for tomorrow, and tomorrow you're going to be really miserable. Because he didn't want to watch anything fun on TV. He didn't want to watch a movie because we needed to watch documentaries and get informed about how our freedoms were being taken away every single day of every single moment. And that created a dynamic where he wasn't always present in our relationship. It made it difficult for him to empathize because other people needed empathy. Because other people needed empathy. The world needed empathy. Sorry, I didn't realize. And so it created this dynamic where it was very difficult for us to have a true, vulnerable conversation with each other. And at that point, it didn't matter what was happening in the outside world. We were already oppressed in our own home. We were creating the oppression for each other. We couldn't empathize. We couldn't be vulnerable with each other. We didn't have patience for each other. And it was like our inner children were at war with each other constantly. There was a war in our own home. And so like Danny said, that first mushroom ceremony really allowed us to notice it. It was like the veil was lifted. The same way we want to wake everybody up in the world and to what's going on out there, what the World Economic Forum is doing, what the powers that want to be are doing, where there's a veil that isn't being lifted within our own homes, within our own consciousness. We're not aware of the times that we're being tyrants to ourselves in the way that we speak to ourselves, in the way that we speak negatively anytime we make a mistake, anytime we're afraid of making a move because we have these limiting beliefs. And when you're not aware of that, you're going out into the world projecting things onto other people. And how can we wake up the world when we don't have the empathy to hold space for another person who isn't quite there yet? So like Danny said, many years ago, when we first met, he was out handing out DVDs about 9/11. And we like to tell the story of the fact that that was the very first thing Danny ever said to me when we met. We were at a Halloween party having nothing to do with activism, just a random real estate Halloween party. And Danny, dressed as Captain America, walked over to me with a loose change DVD and said, hey, did you know 9/11 was an inside job? And it was 2009, so I was very confused. And I was like, doesn't everybody?
That was the first time anyone ever responded to me that way. So now we say, you had me at 9/11 was an inside job.
Very clearly. So we had that foundation. We had the same beliefs. We knew we had to do something. We knew we had to create change somehow. But we were trying to change the world out there without changing first what was going on inside. And, you know, we live in New York City, and a lot of times when people hear that we live in New York City, they're like, oh my God, how do you live in New York City? And we live a very free life in New York City. We live a very happy life in New York City because we have done a lot of the work to decentralize our thoughts, to stop allowing the people that are out there trying to control us in some way or another, control our thoughts our spirits, our minds, our way of life. We don't eat, live, and breathe the World Economic Forum. We live a life of joy, of peace, and every day these issues, whatever issues come up, because we're in a relationship, of course issues are going to come up. Those issues become challenges and opportunities. Last year, we talked about the fact that living in New York City allowed us to recognize the areas where we weren't fully sovereign. Anytime something comes up that we're like, oh, that's an area of opportunity for us. This is what we need to look at. It's the same way with our relationship. Anytime we're triggered by something, yes, initially we have the trigger. Yesterday we were on the flight to Mexico, and Danny was highly triggered in that moment. And it was one of those moments where he had nowhere to run because we were stuck on a plane.
And he wanted to run.
And we worked through that. We have develop tools where we're able to see these moments of trigger as opportunities for us to go deeper into ourselves, into our subconscious. What's there? What's underneath the surface? What's being triggered that I haven't looked at? And that's what our triggers are. They're signals that something isn't quite right, that there's a place where we're not free.
Yeah. How many places we could go from here? We definitely are going to get deeper into the psychedelics. There is a Chinese proverb that says it is better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And I really feel that to be the warrior, for us to embody our inner warriors, we have to be whole within ourselves. It's not just a matter of being trained in self-defense or having systems in place. All of that stuff is absolutely important. You know, having a community around us, building intentional community. All of those things are crucial and beautiful. But if we're not secure in our own sovereignty, in our hearts, then those systems can break down very quickly. We have been in this movement for a long time, and we've seen intentional communities formed and fall apart because the people in those communities were not healing, working on themselves. And I don't mean that in any way as a judgment, because I was in that place. So I fully understand being desperate to want to protect your freedom, but not quite understanding. And if you can't work out the conflicts within yourself, you end up, like Vanessa said, you end up projecting them onto other people, and it causes conflict. And then this is what causes the breakdown of the community and the breakdown of the other systems. So how do psychedelics help you on that path? From a physiological perspective, they help create objectivity. During a psychedelic experience, there is a disassociation. And sometimes in the world of psychiatry, disassociation is seen as a bad thing. But there is what I consider a healthy disassociation. You're able to step back and look at your own triggers, look at your life from an objective perspective, and see the areas of yourself that need healing. Another thing that many psychedelics do is turn down the fear center of your brain. So now you no longer fear the things that trigger you. So you can kind of look at it in a little bit more of a logical way and process it. It gives you, when the fear is turned down, you don't worry about protecting yourself. You can be truly vulnerable. And vulnerability is the essence of connection. I really believe it's the essence of love. So you can't truly love yourself until you're able to be vulnerable with yourself. And the psychedelic state, and this is not only achievable through plant medicines, or even there are pharmaceutical psychedelics that we appreciate. MDMA is a pharmaceutical, and I had a lot of resistance to it because of that, because of my resistance to the pharmaceutical industry. But MDMA really helped teach me, I say it helped teach me the vibration of empathy. It helped teach me how to get out of my own perspective and understand the perspective of others. And that was hugely helpful with dealing with statists, right? Sometimes it's hard as an anarchist who does not believe in any sort of hierarchical control structure to deal with my family, My dad's a statist. Some of my family are, and but that has helped me become more empathetic towards them. And I tend to look at LSD and MDMA and some of the other pharmaceutical psychedelics as what is the vibration that those psychedelics embody, right? So it's not so much about how those substances are created, because ultimately it all comes from nature. LSD is synthesized from ergot, which is a fungus, right? It all comes from nature. MDMA, there are several plants actually that embody the same vibration as MDMA and that MDMA is synthesized from. So I feel like I ran myself off course there for a second. Sorry. Do you have anything that you want to go with? Oh, you know where I wanted to go with this? Traditional therapy. We were in traditional therapy. And this is why I feel like psychedelics are so powerful. They come from nature, mostly, and certainly eventually, right? We were in therapy for years, and we got nowhere because we weren't willing to be vulnerable, first and foremost with ourselves, and then with each other. Because if you can't love yourself, you can't truly, or you can only love others to the degree that you love yourself. Because the things you judge about yourself, you're going to judge those things in other people. I was especially hard on myself. So then when I started to wake up, and now all of a sudden I knew about tyranny, and I was very impatient with people who didn't understand tyranny. How didn't you understand? It was only a few months before that I didn't understand. So, but all of a sudden I was like, how could you still be a statist? MDMA taught me to have more patience with that, with myself, to forgive myself for being duped by the system, for being programmed by the matrix, right?
And also to recognize where those beliefs came from, because those beliefs don't just, yes, the programming has a lot to do with it, but also our internal beliefs, who do we give our authority over to? From the moment that we're born, we hand over our authority. So once we start recognizing that we've been giving away our authority in our relationship, I had no boundaries. And if I have no boundaries, then I'm not sovereign. I'm making decisions based on what Danny is going to say or think or potentially, you know, shut me out of, right? If he's going to shut down, that's going to feel like rejection. So then I don't put up boundaries. I'm not in my sovereignty. I'm not in my power. If I'm not in my sovereignty, how can I ever claim to be a sovereign being? How can I ever think that I'm going to protect myself from the powers that be, right? So this really allowed us to recognize the areas where we were not in our true power and our true sovereignty. And when we started stepping into that power, stepping into our true beliefs, being vulnerable with each other. And that's the thing, right? There's a lot of fear about vulnerability being a weakness. But when you're vulnerable, when you're true, your truest authentic self, that is the most powerful you could ever be, because nobody can take that from you. And that's where our true power lies, in that vulnerability. So when we connect with other people, it's all out there. There's nobody that anybody can at this point can say about us that we haven't already told the world ourselves. We're pretty vocal and vulnerable with people as much as we can. And I think there's probably still more work to do. We're on that path constantly, being aware of where we're giving away our power by not being in our vulnerability, by not being in our authenticity. And this work, the psychedelics, the plant medicines, any type of psychedelic breath work, is, you know, provides that container. There's all sorts of forms of psychedelic. Birthing is psychedelic. Motherhood,
sex,
fatherhood,
is psychedelic.
Sex is psychedelic. So when we create these containers of that psychedelic energy, the psychedelic element, it provides a container of safety for us to truly dive into the depths of who we are. And if we don't know ourselves, we can never truly be free of anybody else's power or attempt that power over us. We can't if we don't know who we are. And that's the power of, in my opinion, the power of psychedelics, is teaching us to really tap into our true essence, who we are at our core. And once we know who we are at our core, nobody can ever take that from us. Nobody can ever stop you if you know who you truly are. You won't question yourself anymore. And the truth about that is also that we get to tap into our intuition. And a lot of us, we come to these events and we learn different ways, different modalities. And some of the confusion can lie in what's right for me, because not all of the solutions are right for everybody. We are not ready to move out of New York City at this moment. It's not an option for us. So we can't get stuck in this idea that we're powerless in this situation. If we are in our sovereignty, then this is an opportunity for us to find better ways to get creative about the solutions that we come up with, because we are stepping into that sovereignty, getting to know what our true desires are, what our intuition, where our intuition guides us. And I feel like that's the true power of these psychedelic medicines. Like I said, whether you are working with plant medicines or breath work or sex or any other form that allows you to truly tap into your authenticity.
Yes. And I want to go back for a moment to what Vanessa was saying about boundaries. The warrior has boundaries, but the warrior is also in the garden. The warrior has compassion as well. In our belief system, this is masculine is the boundaries, feminine is the compassion. And we all have masculine and feminine qualities within us. And one of the things that we have really, I feel we've been taught by psychedelics, especially the mushroom kingdom, mm-hmm. is about balancing those qualities within us. Having compassion, being able to be loving towards other people, but that doesn't mean we allow them to overstep our boundaries. That's what I was doing in our relationship. I loved Vanessa, but I walked all over her boundaries, and she was not in a place where she could enforce her boundaries. So what would happen was things would build up. I'd cross her boundaries, and then she'd come to a breaking point. And now, when I overstep her boundaries unintentionally, she can communicate those boundaries to me, but with compassion. It doesn't have to turn into a fight. You stepped over my boundary. It can be like, honey, you're overstepping my boundary. Oh my God, baby, I'm sorry. That was unintentional. And we can talk through it. You can take that paradigm and apply it to every relationship you have. It's not about a romantic relationship necessarily. So you're having a conflict in your intentional community. You can be in that space of compassionately expressing your boundaries so that it doesn't turn into conflict, which may not be reconcilable. And we've seen, like I said, some of those communities fall apart because of that very thing. And so this is now my life's work, is balancing my own masculine and feminine. Every interaction that I have, every conversation that we may have this week with every one of you, and I hope to have conversations with all of you, because I feel like I have something to learn from every single one of you. We all have different experiences. And if we can learn from each other, this brings us not just closer in terms of being able to empathize and have understanding for each other, but I believe it gets us back, gets us closer to unity consciousness. And that's where we find peace. The more of us doing this work, embodying inner peace, the world changes. That's what being the change means, in my opinion. That's the what I feel like psychedelics has taught us.
It all starts within, and we hear that often. And I think a lot of the solutions that are being offered today are helping us achieve that balance within, whether it's permaculture, whether it's eating healthy, building
cryptocurrency,
being in control of our technology. All of that is extremely beneficial, and it all starts with us. We can't be out there yelling at everybody else to do the thing that we haven't done yet. And a lot of times we catch ourselves doing that, expecting things from other people that we're not ready yet to embody. So, you know, yesterday in the trigger we were having, Danny was having an argument with somebody.
I was like that meme. I was triggered.
And at one point he said, you know, I want her to admit that she's in her ego. And I said, okay, well, are you ready to admit that you're in your ego? Because clearly it must be easy to admit if you're expecting her to admit that she's in her ego. And it was like a light bulb went off. Not a very happy light bulb, but a light bulb nonetheless.
I was a little reticent to admit it, but yeah, she was right.
And I think that that's the thing, right? We are expecting our family members, we're expecting people in our communities to understand something, to change their minds. And when we stop and look at how easy it is for us to change our minds, that's not always the case. If it's something that we don't agree with, we're not going to change our minds. When somebody gives us a list of facts and says, here's the information I have, here's the research research I've done, so now change your mind. It's not that easy, but we expect other people to do that. And when we start recognizing that there are areas of resistance within ourselves, then it's easier to hold space and have empathy for the areas of resistance within others. And then we can build those connections. We've met a lot of people in our neighborhood in progressive Brooklyn, and they're not always, you know, they're not always ready to hear what we have to say.
Very rarely are they ready to hear.
But we've also made connections with people by being vulnerable, by being authentic, by opening up to our belief systems, talking about psychedelics. And honestly, we've met people that after a few conversations are crying, telling us the things that they're going through. And it's beautiful. It creates this energy, this community. Mm-hmm. We have right now, we traveled here from New York, and we have three different people taking care of our dog in our community. And not all of them have the same beliefs, but we're able to start bridging those gaps and building those communities. And we can start allowing, you know, if we're angry activists, who are we going to convince to come over to our side? That's not fun. Why would they want to be angry, right? But if we're in this place of joy, if we're really enjoying our lives, and we are authentically, truly enjoying our lives. We're in Morelia right now with hundreds of people, thousands of people watching online, but hundreds of people in person here and in Texas, and getting to see this community grow, getting to hear all of this amazing information. I mean, that's beautiful. That's the life that we have chosen at this point. And that's the thing. It's a choice. And sometimes we forget that we have a choice because we're still stuck in those limiting beliefs and these paradigms of oppression. And we don't have to be there.
Yeah. So I want to say that psychedelics is not all fun and games. The experience,
as some of you seem to know,
the experiences can be difficult. In that first transformative journey that I went on, I hesitate to say this because I don't want anybody to be afraid to venture in this world if you have not been there yet. But I had a very difficult trip. We'll call it that. I don't believe there's any such thing as a bad trip, because every trip has something to teach you, even if it's hard, right?
Especially
have the courage. Be the warrior and have the courage to be willing to face those hard things. But I've also never had a trip that started out as a bad trip that didn't end in beauty, joy, gratitude. I think if we surrender to the experience itself, I think most of the bad trips we create because we resist the messages we're getting from the medicine. And that's what creates that feeling of, oh God, it's the resistance itself. And once you release that resistance, then there's the joy and the beauty. And you can actually see the beauty in even the things that you did wrong, right? That first trip where we were in such a toxic place. Look, I'll just say it. We've detailed this on our podcast. I was a narcissist. I was a cheater. I had a sex addiction. You know, I had not a great relationship with my mom growing up. I grew up most of my life believing my mother didn't actually love me, that I was a burden, that she didn't want kids. And because of a few little things that happened when I was a child that my child's brain could not understand, I interpreted it in those ways. And out of that need for love, I started looking for love through sex with as many partners as I could rack up. That's how I determined, okay, I wasn't worthy of my mother's love, but if my body count can stack up, then I must be worthy. And this is the delusion that I lived in. And in that first ceremony, it was like nature, God, source, whatever you want to call it, the universe showed me. I, for the first time in my life, understood all of that in just a moment, it felt like. And that epiphany was huge and changed everything. But that was just the start. The epiphany is just the start. Because now you have to integrate that epiphany into your everyday life. It took us a long time after that for me to change my behaviors. There were times that I still, when I felt unworthy, if we maybe weren't having a great day, we were arguing about something, that I would feel tempted. I'd want to flirt with the girl at Starbucks that I was getting my coffee from, or have an interaction where I needed to get some kind of validation. And it took a long time for me to be able to recognize those behaviors and say, oh, that's the old me. I don't need to do that anymore. I can be vulnerable and go to Vanessa and say, hey, you know, today I felt like I wasn't as worthy and I wanted to flirt with that girl at Starbucks because I didn't feel worthy. I needed some validation. And she can hold me and she can express love to me and help me through that till I can get to the point where now I feel the validation from myself. I can self-source my validation and be like, I'm a child of the universe. I'm God in a human body, or I'm a child of God, depending on whatever your belief system is. I'm worthy just because I exist. And it's integrating those epiphanies into your everyday life. That's where the real healing happens. Because many people will have epiphanies on psychedelics and then never integrate them and forget. You can forget. So integration work, being told to wrap up. Thank you. Yeah, I could go on all day. I mean, and please feel free to approach us, ask us any questions, or just share your experiences. We want to hear your experiences. We really do want to connect with you all. So I think if I had to sum it up in a closing statement, psychedelics helped me become truly a vulnerable person, able to receive and express love in a way, even to complete strangers. So come up and share some love with me. Thank you so much, everybody.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.